from WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, coming to you this week from the site of the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida. A little storm called Isaac has played havoc with the schedule here, but not with the agenda. Republicans are thirsting to toss Barack Obama out of the White House. To do that, they need to sell an accomplished man who has not entirely connected with the American people, Mitt Romney. What's that going to take? This hour on Point, we are in Tampa, looking at the challenge this week for the GOP and Mitt Romney. You can join the conversation. Call us here in Tampa. What is the heart of the Mitt Romney challenge? If he's going to take the White House, what's he need to do this week? What's he need to do in the next, 70-some days now? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We are broadcasting this week from the Tampa Convention Center on beautiful Tampa Bay, which was stormy today, but not in the eye of Isaac, as it turns out. And then, sunny, the worst of the storm passed Tampa by, but it played havoc with the convention schedule here. It's all been put off for a day. They'll have a little 10-minute convening this afternoon, but really nothing. Mitt Romney still circling, not in town yet. Joining me first today from Boston is Peter Baker, White House correspondent for the New York Times. He's been traveling with the Romney campaign. Peter Baker, welcome to On Point. What's Mitt Romney up to in these days as he waits for his convention to clear through Isaac and get off the ground?
Well, he's doing a couple things. Obviously, he's checking the weather reports, I think, pretty carefully, and he's practicing his speech. He's got a big task ahead of him, a big challenge to reintroduce himself to the American public in a way that he really hasn't had an opportunity quite like this before. He's spent the morning up in his home in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, where he went over to the Booster Academy, practiced his speech, Ann Romney practicing her speech as well. Came out and told reporters following him that he feels pretty good about both speeches.
Up in a high school gymnasium in New Hampshire, we see, and out in Ohio over the weekend. Here he was, a little foretaste, Mitt Romney giving his big pitch, saying he was going to get the country back on course to greatness.
I love this country. I love what it stands for. We are unique in the history of the earth because of our founding documents and our commitment to freedom. We're going to bring America back by reasserting and reaffirming and restoring those principles. We're not going to become Europe. We're going to stay America. We're going to remain the shining city on a hill. And Ohio is going to help us win the White House. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mitt Romney in Ohio over the weekend. And yes, he hopes Ohio and other swing states come through for him. How does this convention week hit the Romney campaign? What are the trajectories that are meeting here, Peter Baker?
Well, you've seen he's coming out of a summer of relentless attacks from the Obama campaign, and obviously he's had attacks of his own against the president. And he's feeling a little on the defensive, I think, on issues like his income taxes, his economic plans, his business record, and eager, I think, to sort of take the offensive and kind of reframe this debate to be about whether or not the incumbent, President Obama, has done a good enough job to merit another 4 years. He gave a couple interviews over the weekend to some newspapers, USA Today and Politico, which he acknowledged that the attacks of these last few weeks and months have taken their toll, that they've damaged his image, and he understands that they have effectively raised questions in the minds of a lot of American voters that he's going to now have to answer starting on Thursday when he gives his speech in Tampa.
And on the campaign comes to Tampa, where the storm passes by, Gulf Coast battening down. Peter Baker in Boston, headquarters for the Romney campaign. Peter Baker with the New York Times, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We are in Tampa, where it is slowly unfolding. People were really freaked about the storm. People were prepared for anything on this day, but it has gone west, and it is headed north. It may still be really destructive, but that destruction does not look like it's going to come first and foremost to Tampa. And soon, the convention will be back up on the rails here and underway. Joining me in Tampa today is Doyle McManus, columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Doyle, it's great to have you right here.
Good to be here in person, Tom.
Also with us is Margaret Taleb, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Margaret, great to see you.
It is great to be here.
And with us here in Tampa, Byron York, chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner, author of The Vast Left-Wing Conspiracy, no less. Byron York, great to have you here.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
All right, so here we are. We're in the big hall. The press is descending. Thousands and thousands and thousands. We're on Radio Row, and it's just one booth after another. It's a little sunshine over the bay right now. And the Republicans looking at this week where they need to break out of the neck and neck and make something different happen, change that tone of the summer. Dale, how do you see their challenge this week, the heart of the challenge?
Well, if you go, I think I've spent a little bit of time talking to people on the Romney campaign, and if I were to channel the word they won't use, there's a little bit of frustration in that campaign because they look at this year, they look at this economy, they look at the polls, and the fundamentals should favor Mitt Romney. The economy's in bad shape. People think Mitt Romney, by and large, would do a better job on the economy. So, in a sense, Mitt Romney should be well ahead of Barack Obama. Instead, he's head-to-head. He's at a dead heat in the polls. Now, that's a pretty good number for Mitt Romney so far. But there are what they've got to do at this convention and the weeks to come is fill in at least two missing blanks. One is, who is Mitt Romney? Is he likable? Is he this chilly, rich guy who used to fire people that the Obama campaign likes to portray? Or is he the family man and Mormon church leader who did wonderful things for poor people in his congregations, the warm Mitt Romney that his own friends talk about? So there's the personal side. Mm-hmm. Then there's the policy side. This has been a very negative campaign. There's no question about it. All summer
both
long.
Both sides all in, hammer and tongs.
Exactly. And to make this work, the Romney campaign has to present a positive economic program and persuade American voters that they have a plan, that Mr. Romney has a plan to make this all come out better.
Margaret, is it about introducing the man? He's sweet and lovable and a family man. We know we're going to hear that from his wife, Ann, and she can be very good in public. Or is it the social issues that stacked up against him here? Is that the reason he didn't break out of the 50-50, even in the face of this terrible economy, Aiken and all the rest that came in over the summer?
Right. I mean, it seemed like a soft pitch toward him, right? If you're going to go after an incumbent president, boy, aren't these precisely the economic conditions under which you want to do it if your biggest selling point is, hey, I'm a business guy. So the Romney campaign has been a little bit of two minds, a little bit schizophrenic, if you will, about how much to introduce him, you know, the man, the person, to try to promote his likability. You know, Romney himself, in his Politico interview, says, I am who I am, repeatedly. You get
what's
what
that
you
mean?
See.
Yeah, I mean, but you've got to lay it out so right. We know who that is.
And so part of it has been his own reluctance to try to make people like him. You know, what he's saying is, I want to do this on the merits. I shouldn't try to have to convince people that, you know,
I'm
Huggy Bear, right? Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, what they told us today, the Romney advisors, Eric Fernstrom in a Bloomberg breakfast, is that on Thursday, Governor Romney will himself talk about his time as a bishop in the Mormon church, try to introduce more of his personality and give a more intimate portrait of himself so that people can kind of latch on to something. So that is really something they're struggling with. And another thing that they need to do this week, that they know they need to do, that they've talked about, is to appeal more to women. And the trick has been how to do it. You know, he's not going to change his stance on, you know, choice issues, the reproductive issues, or the social issues. So the idea, I think, is to try to sell women on the idea that the economy is a big issue for them and that he is someone who they can trust.
Byron, here we are. People can be jaundiced about conventions these days. You know, it seems like something out of the mists of history, cigar smoke and real battles for who was going to be nominated. That doesn't happen anymore. And yet, these are the days in which the parties get the public's attention. There's a huge decision coming up, and it's only 71 days now. What do you think Mitt Romney needs to do, most importantly, this week, Byron?
Well, you know, Romney's challenge for months had been actually to win over Republicans. I mean, there were still Republicans who were skeptical about him, skeptical about his conservative credentials and all of that. And talking to delegates here, especially after the choice of Ryan, that problem is solved. They are very, very enthusiastic about him. If they have any doubts, they just don't want to think about it. They're going forward. Mm-hmm. They greatly support Romney Ryan. Now, the deal is to introduce that team to the American people. I mean, Paul Ryan is like any other congressman. He represents a single district in a single state. He's not a national figure before now. And Americans, the majority of them, are going to get their first glimpse of Paul Ryan, their first hearing of Paul Ryan at this convention. And that's going to be very important to try to portray him as a young, vigorous, smart guy who is willing to take on big problems. And the other thing, as Doyle mentioned as well, is that these negative ads have taken a toll on Romney. I mean, he has been portrayed as a felon, as a tax cheat, as somebody who may have killed a woman. And they know that's taken a toll, and they have to portray him as a good guy. And this is their chance.
And there'll be a lot of effort put into that. But, you know, you've got Republicans who are very enthusiastic. You've got a lot of Democrats who are just not going to come over the line. You've got that gang in the middle that everybody is out for. I mean, what do you think is the most important thing to persuade them of? Doyle says the Republicans have to show that they've got a plan to turn this economy around. Some people say the same thing about Barack Obama looking at his second term. What's most important substantially for Mitt Romney for that swing vote, Doyle?
I think they have to show that Romney is really a credible alternative, a guy that it would be safe to change horses for, and that if you picked Mitt Romney, you wouldn't get any big surprises. It wouldn't be dangerous. I think that's the plan. That's the point they have to show, because there's so many people who are not happy with the way things are going. But they don't really know all that much about Romney. They're not sure things are going to get better regardless of who is elected. And they think that maybe Obama just kind of understands their problems a little more. Romney's got to make up that gap.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Republican challenge this week in Tampa, Florida, as Mitt Romney hits the home stretch in his long push to try to take the White House. We're in Tampa. It was all battened down yesterday. People afraid of everything, anything coming in with Isaac. Not so bad today. Even a little sun peeking out over Tampa Bay earlier today. We've got Margaret Tollib with us from Bloomberg News this hour, White House correspondent there. Doyle McManus, columnist for the Los Angeles Times, is with me. Byron York, also with us in Tampa with the Washington Examiner. And you can join us. A lot of talk about Romney and his likability, what he cares about. Yesterday on CNN's State of the Union, Republican Florida Governor Rick Scott spoke with CNN's Candy Crowley, rejecting talk that it's President Obama who cares more about the middle class. He said that when he talked to Mitt Romney over the weekend, it was clear what Romney cares about most.
The first thing I wanted to talk about is, okay, so how are the citizens of Florida doing? You know, how's the convention coming? Or what's the issues there? He says, okay, tell me about this storm. Tell me about the citizens of the Keys and what's going to happen in the panhandle. So that's the type of person he is. I think as he gets out, people know that. He's a great person. He cares about people.
He cares about people. Message out of Tampa, loud and clear. I mean, Byron, there have been many, many months, years now, really, that Mitt Romney's been going for the presidency. If this point isn't made by now, you know, what's the magic wand that gets waved this week to drive that home? And does it really matter?
Well, I would say that he's never been the party's candidate. I mean, he ran for president. He ran in the mm-hmm. primaries in 07 and 08 and lost. So, I mean, this is the first time he stepped on that real national stage. And we all remember how the race changed when Romney tied up the nomination and became the presumptive nominee, and it was just him versus Obama. I mean, the race became very different. So I think the Romney people would say that they really haven't had, as much as we've all been talking about Mitt Romney for quite a while, they really haven't had the chance to roll him out on a national stage. And their chances are going to be now Thursday in Tampa, and then they're mm-hmm. going to be the debates between Romney and Obama.
I mean, Doyle, you've watched politics, and you've watched now Mitt Romney, as a lot of us have for a long time. Do you think he can turn it all around in those with that white-hot spotlight, the one that only the convention and those debates ultimately really give to a challenger for the White House? Is that enough of a platform? It's a big one. Is it enough after all these years for Mitt Romney to say, look, see me?
Yes, actually, I do think it's doable because the fundamentals, as both Margaret and Byron have noted, are good for a challenger this year. This is the kind of year in which, for example, a Ronald Reagan would win the presidency, and that 1980 campaign, in a sense, is the one that the Romney campaign would like this year to play out like. The problem they face is Mitt Romney isn't yet Ronald Reagan. He does have to make up that likability deficit, at least to some degree. And the other phrase that I think is interesting that we are now beginning to hear crop up insistently on the Republican side is middle class. We are seeing the birth of middle class Mitt, because that's the other mm-hmm. deficit he faces. If you ask voters who favors the upper class, who favors the middle class, President Obama wins on that question, and Romney needs to narrow that gap.
How's he do that? I mean, everybody knows about the whatever it is, $100 million IRA, the $250 million fortune. I mean, that means he is not of the middle class. President Obama has just hammered on this, Margaret. We've all heard it. People say, well, it's not a positive message from the president. Oh, well, fair enough. but it can be an alienating message around Mitt Romney when it's wrapped there.
That's absolutely right. So when I have gone to Romney rallies and talked to converts, people who supported Santorum or Gingrich or whatever, and sort of came around to Romney, either because they just anyone but Obama or because they really wanted to rally around Romney, what they all say to a T is that they like it that he has real-world business experience. And that's, I mean, that's obviously what he has to sell to independent voters as well, to swing voters.
That he can do it.
That you
it's
can
a
be,
business
you
problem.
Can
it's
be
a business
a rich
challenge.
Guy and still know how to help regular people.
Bring it on home. Let's hear from our listeners. Take a call here from Cookeville, Tennessee. Jerry is calling. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air through Tampa. Thanks for calling. What do you think?
Hey, Tom. Well, I think that Romney has to show that capitalism isn't a bad thing. I mean, he's a capitalist, and President Obama is not.
Simple as that? I mean, is that really all it takes?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's really as simple as that, but that's pretty much what it is. I mean, the president has a collective philosophy, and, I mean, more in line with William Foster and Eugene Debs, and Mitt Romney doesn't.
Well, I mean, the president has not exactly wrapped himself around those names. But, Jerry, I appreciate your call. Doyle, this is the theme we heard Romney bring up himself in the Ohio speech this weekend. We want to be America, not Europe. He's playing on the same theme as Jerry here. Is President Obama's commitment to capitalism as shaky as Jerry suggests, as Mitt Romney would like to suggest?
Well, conservative Republicans certainly believe that President Obama doesn't have a fundamental commitment to capitalism. But I think if you're looking at the 5 to 8% in the middle of persuadable swing voters, I don't think that's the right way to frame this, because they don't really question President Obama's commitment to democracy and the free enterprise system. Where you are hearing the Romney campaign begin to change its language a little bit, and here's where I think the problem has been. Until now, Mitt Romney has tended to talk about the economy as a kind of a bloodless engineering problem that he knew how to solve, and that may all be true. But President Obama and Vice President Biden have spent the last 4 years talking about the middle class. They've been talking about income falling short. They've been talking about people's home equity, not very much because they haven't had a good solution to that one. They've been talking about tax rates and why is Warren Buffett paying more taxes than his secretary. They're putting it in flesh and blood terms, and that's really what Romney has to do. Not just show that capitalism is a good thing, but show that capitalism can deliver good jobs, good wages, and a good standard of living for the great middle class.
Byron York, is it about, you know, Friedrich Hayek and, you know, ideological purity around capitalism, or is it about flesh and blood people? Can Mitt Romney show he's got both going on?
Well, that was a really interesting call, because it is there's a significant part of the Republican base that does believe that. They think of Obama as a socialist or a European social democrat, and I'm not going to argue anything about that. But the key part of that is that's not a way to win over Democrats and independents. Romney is looking for converts. He's looking for people who voted for Obama the last time and are disappointed this time. And you don't win them by telling them that they made a really stupid mistake or that this guy was the devil or anything like that. You win them by playing on their disappointment and promising them that things can get better and that he knows how to make things better. The note of caution for Romney, and I think I wrote about this a long time ago, is that Americans don't really elect businessmen as presidents. Go back to, you know, presidents. I think you've got to go back to Herbert Hoover to have one who had a really significant business background that he used as the main plank
argument
of his appeal. And that's something that is a real hurdle for Romney, because in the past Americans have simply not gone for business experience as the chief qualification. And there were times in the Republican primaries where Romney almost never mentioned that he had once been the governor of a whole state. So he's put a lot on his business background.
Margaret, I know we have to let you go in a minute. I mean, I'm thinking here about people. You can chat with people around this country and hear every angle on this. But there's a population out there who did vote for Barack Obama last time and would kind of like to do it again, but look at the economy and say, I'm just not sure. I know obstructionist Congress and so on, but I'm just not sure he knows what to do.
Right.
What's the Romney pitch for that crowd?
I think that that is precisely what he is trying to emotionally calibrate. He doesn't want to give a speech on Thursday that says, you want to be my friend because I like pal around with you and we can talk about movies and pop culture and
that's
stuff.
That's not going to ultimately work anyway.
But he is trying to fashion something inviting for people who say, intellectually, I don't know if Obama's got the juice and Romney does on paper, but I just want to feel something for him. And that, God, it's so hard to calibrate, right? But that's what he's trying to do, to offer just enough emotional appeal to put a package around so the
come
economic
on over,
resume.
Try this one. Try me.
You gave Obama a chance. You wanted it to work. He appealed to you emotionally. He did a stimulus. It didn't deliver for you. Give me a chance.
Margaret Tolliv, White House correspondent with Bloomberg News. So great to have you with us.
It's
here in the hall
here
in Tampa. Thank you very much, Margaret. Let's hear from Mitt Romney. Here he was at a rally in Powell, Ohio. This was on Saturday, kind of going with that theme and saying that he had actually pulled out the text of President Obama's speech from Denver, where he was nominated by the Democrats 4 years ago. Here's what Mitt Romney had to say about that.
You know, I happened to pull out his speech last night. I'm not kidding. I pulled out his speech that he gave in Denver. It's really a brilliant speech. He says marvelous things. He just hasn't done them.
He just hasn't done them. There's the theme that you will hear from Mitt Romney this week in Tampa, and not just Mitt Romney. Let's get a little sense of the Florida feeling for what's going on here right in the heart of the state. Susan McManus joins us now from Tampa, professor of political science at the University of South Florida. Susan McManus, welcome back to On Point. It's great to be in your neighborhood.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really nice down here in spite of all the hurricane messages. It's kind of moved on, and we're very grateful.
Yes, yes, indeed. The palm trees are not sideways, and Tampa's looking pretty good. Florida is one of the big states that these two, Obama and Romney, are going to fight right up to November over. How's it looking for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan as the convention comes to town, Susan?
Well, there's nothing better than being even up in a swing state to get your base energized, and you can sense it among the delegates. I was fortunate enough as an analyst to attend a big party last night in Tropicana Field and talk to quite a few of the delegates, and that's what it's all about. They really think they can win, but they know they got a lot of work to do, and that's certainly a good place to be as the convention starts.
Florida is feeling, you know, feeling its oats here. I'm reading in the local newspaper, you know, it's become a nation state like New York and California before. They're quoting Richard Norton Smith here saying, you know, it is everything, the most important state in America. How do the polls look? What does it look like for Romney and Obama here right now, Susan?
It has been virtually a tie. Polls have been margin of error for months on end now. One week a poll will show one of them up by 2 or 3 points, and the next week another will show the same thing. It's kind of back and forth. A lot of the shifting, of course, depends upon what ads have been running on TV and whether the candidates have been in a media market where there's a lot of people or not. So I think that it really is truly a dead heat state right now, and it is going to be a fierce, fierce battle to get out the vote, and I think that's going to make the difference. There are some who are thinking that with the projected kind of fall off of the young voters somewhat, that this might be an election where seniors make up a slightly larger portion. That's good news for the Romney people because seniors in the state are leaning Republican. Baby boomers are about split. So for the Obama campaign, they really are very, very dependent upon getting high turnout among groups that historically aren't necessarily high turnout. That would be the young voters in particular, and to a certain degree, Hispanics.
So here we are right in Florida. Logistics is a huge issue. Turnout is a huge issue. There will be such an effort on that. But what about on the message front? I mean, this week is a message week. The turnout will come. Of course, there's been a lot of work done on that on all sides, you know, to tamp it up and tamp it down. But what about on the message, Susan, from Romney this week for Floridians?
Well, clearly Florida is still lagging behind the rest of the country in economic recovery. And frankly, it's a position that our state has rarely found itself in. During the boom years, we were always one of the first states to lead other states out of an economic downturn, but not this time. We're lagging. And it's something new to Floridians, and they're very, very impatient at the moment because our unemployment rate just ticked up a bit. We're still higher than the nation. Home foreclosures are still high and starting to really, again, rise a bit. And, you know, it's college time, and We've had to increase tuition and all the loans issue. In other words, and food prices are going up. This is really nothing but an election where somebody's got to convince Floridians that they're the ones that can solve the economic problems. Medicare, straying into abortion, that's not what the voters here want to hear. They want to hear, what can you do to fix Florida's economy?
Those all sound like they would typically be real headwinds for a sitting president, wind at the back of a challenger, but here we are so far, neck and neck. Conrad's calling in Sunderstown, Rhode Island. Conrad, thanks for calling. You're on the air through Tampa.
Hi. Yeah, so the problem is that I don't think either Romney or Obama really have a clue on what to do about this economic problem we have. It's really based in some technological developments and also in the huge outsourcing. If you just think about the fact that practically everything you buy today is manufactured in China. And those are jobs that used to pay well, I think, backed by the auto industry. And some people today are saying, yes, some of these jobs are coming back. But if you look at the auto industry, the jobs that are coming back at a fraction of what they used to pay. It's also happening in other industries.
Now, so you've got to decide. The whole country has to decide. How will you decide if you think both of them are not, you know, are up against that, Conrad?
Well, I decide because I trust Obama more. And the reason I trust him more is because of Romney's ridiculous position on taxation of wealthy people, right? There are people today who are absolutely outrageously wealthy. The fact that they can't participate and help sort of fund sort of what I consider to be sort of a transition stage, even though it won't last in the long run, right, is to me ridiculous. And I do not trust Romney. I mean, his position on that is just, it's to me, it's unconscionable. It's just, it makes no sense. So I...
Conrad, we've got it. Let me take that to Byron York. I'm coming out on a break here. But Byron, there's a voter who ought to be a target for Mitt Romney, and it's that taxation policy. President Obama's made much of it. He'll give more breaks to the wealthy. In that association, that's, you can hear it tripping him up, Byron. What can the GOP, what can Mitt Romney do about that?
The question is how much that appeals to independents. We know it appeals to Democrats, and Democrats a good long while ago were saying, you know, Mitt Romney thinks this election is going to be about jobs. It's going to be about taxes. And now when they say taxes, they mean fairness, and they mean increasing taxes on the highest earners. You know, can and that's a huge part of the president's economic program. I mean, a huge part of it. And it doesn't really fix much, but if you're disturbed by the fairness issue, then it's a motivator. The question is, and I don't know the answer to this question, how many independents will that appeal to?
Fairness. Doyle, surely the Obama administration thinks it's a big issue. They've made it something very near the rudder of the campaign.
Well, and if you look at the polls, more people, including more independents, agree with the Obama policy in general that taxes ought to be raised on people making more than $250,000 a year per household than on the other side. But Byron's got it exactly right. The problem for the Obama campaign is that the number one concern of American voters, including those independents, overwhelmingly is jobs. So it's who's got the compelling message on jobs.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are in Tampa, Florida, with the GOP. The Republican challenge this week in Tampa is our subject as Mitt Romney hits the home stretch in his long push to try to take the White House. Susan McManus is with us from the University of South Florida, professor of political science there. Doyle McManus is here. It's a McManus reunion from the Los Angeles Times with me in the hall. And Byron York is with us in Tampa, chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Here was Paul Ryan talking in Ohio at a campaign rally on Saturday, giving him the kind of big wind-up, Mitt Romney, the big wind-up intro you're going to hear plenty of this week, saying he's the man to bring good to America.
Never before have I seen such a clear choice of two futures. Never before have we seen a moment where the man and the moment meet perfectly. Mitt Romney is the exact kind of leader we need for this exact time. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so proud to be standing here with this man. I am so proud to be traveling the Buckeye State with this man. I am so proud to be saying I'm standing next to the next president of the United States, and his name is Mitt Romney.
The young running mate there womping it up, but the White House is pushing back, and they'd say, look, this team may look new to you, but it's not new. Here's President Obama. This was an interview with the Associated Press on Thursday, saying that Mitt Romney has locked himself into what he called extreme positions on the economy, going back to trickle-down economics.
He has embraced an approach that we tried for almost a decade, and it didn't work. And he's now looking to double down on it.
Double down on it, the voice of the super calm president there. He'll be in his own convention frenzy soon enough. Let's go to our listener, Susan, in Waltham, Massachusetts. Thank you for calling, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. As usual, great to talk to you, and you're doing a great job putting this all together.
Thanks.
I'm an underemployed 50-something. Economy is huge for me. I'm also with the swing vote that everybody wants to get a hold of. My two concerns are... the Republican administration's stance on stem cell research. I feel that the United States is really behind on stem cell research. I have a chronic condition. Let's put it this way. I sympathize with Ann Romney. We'll leave it at that.
Yes.
If you know I'm going with that.
Yep.
So for me, working is a huge issue. My husband and I are middle class, and we're really struggling without my paycheck. And going forward, what we're going to do, not just with health care, that's a huge concern as well, but with stem cell research, where are we going with this? What, are we still basing our decisions on stem cell research on religious beliefs? I just like to state that for me, that's a huge big deal. I would lean more towards the Democrats if I don't hear what I want to hear from the Republicans on that one.
Susan, you bring us back to the kind of fullness of the issues. Even if you're unemployed, underemployed, really care about the economy, a lot of other things come in. I mean, Susan McManus, you're listening to that here in Tampa, and, you know, there's the voice. Once needs that economic comeback, but wants it to be in hands she trusts, and there's some, you can hear real hesitation there, not necessarily because Mitt Romney's a businessman, but because of the kind of social envelope, values envelope, that she, fears, in her case, may surround him.
Well, that's certainly the intersection of that view and gender, I think, is one of the concerns of some of the female Republicans. They've been expressing themselves lately. But I ultimately think in our state that the bulk of the electorate is not going to be focused so much on the social issues. They're really going to almost all be focused on the economy. That said, one discussion point we haven't mentioned that is also a very big issue here, and this has to do with the apprehension of a lot of middle and middle-income people, is the national debt. It resonates very loudly. It's been number two in almost every poll that's been taken here of concern. And for a lot of people, all they have to do to think that government is broken is to look at the debt, because how many people can actually maintain that kind of debt in their own lives and survive. So people kind of know that we're in dangerous territory when it comes to the amount of money the country owes. And I think that's something that the Romney campaign is going to have to hammer. And I know from being in the forum, the convention center point, that they've got a debt clock in there. And I think that's very smart politics, because that reaches the average voter who themselves is struggling with, you know, going under financially.
What do you think, Byron? The big debt clock, they're going to have it right on the wall in the convention hall. I'm sure there'll be plenty of panning over to that. Paul Ryan raises the fiscal issue even more than Mitt Romney in many ways. Who does that sell and who does it not sell, Byron?
Well, it sells the Republican base completely, and it does sell a fraction of independents who are worried about debt and deficits more so than just jobs. But if I could go back to the caller, Susan, I wish she was still on the line. I would ask her who she voted for in 2008. But that is a really interesting nexus of social issues and economic issues. And I would point out that Romney actually, the way he tells it, became pro-life because of stem cell issues. It was a big stem cell fight in Massachusetts. He was the governor. He had been elected on a pledge to be strongly pro-choice. And he said as a result of his consultations with scientists and other experts in the stem cell fight, he became strongly pro-life.
But it sounds like Susan wants research on that front. She may need it for her own personal health. There were a lot of people who thought of George W. Bush is putting science in the back seat, and we're concerned about that, even in economic terms, ultimately, whether that kind of social perspective might crimp America's research and development and economic growth future, Byron.
Well, I believe President Obama has undone the executive orders that Bush did on that issue, and also a lot of stem cell research, and I'm no anywhere close to an expert on this, a lot of stem cell research, I think, has moved beyond
embryonic.
Where it was, embryonic mm-hmm. stem cells. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how much that's going to be an issue, but if you look at what the Democrats are doing for their convention next week with prominent roles for representatives of NARAL, Pro-Choice America, and Planned Parenthood, and it sometimes seems as if President Obama has made Sandra Fluk a co-planner of the convention, I mean, they're clearly trying to appeal to college-educated women who are on the fence right now, who supported Obama the last time. They got to keep those women voters in the fold.
Doyle, severely conservative is how Mitt Romney characterized himself in the primaries to make that appeal to the Republican base. Does that raise the kind of fears that Susan raises here of, you know, anti-science or social values that may turn independent voters the other way?
Well, it does, and it's not just on the issue of stem cell research, also on the issue of abortion and on the issue of gay rights. Mitt Romney spent the better part of 6 years moving to the right to make himself acceptable to a majority of Republican primary voters and win that nomination.
And away from the position he held when he was governor of Massachusetts.
That's right, and that's not to question whether there was a genuine conversion there or not. That's just where he is. So here's where we are. If this election, this general election, is about jobs and the debt, Mitt Romney will win. If the general election is about abortion, is about women's rights, even about gay rights, then Barack Obama is going to win, and so that, as Byron noted, you're going to hear those social issues come up much more in the Democratic National Convention than you will here in the Republican National Convention, especially during primetime.
You know, I think there's some micro ground in between there, though, about that critical trust issue as well. Jack in West Palm Beach, Florida, just across the way. Jack, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a former Republican who became independent about 2 years ago, and I want to make a point about the idea that Romney can't connect to the so-called common or ordinary person. And, you know, I suspect he connects as well as Jack Kennedy did. And from my perspective, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in a person who's smarter than I am and who has better ideas and can fix things. And I guess that's the essence of what I want to say, Tom.
So don't worry so much about likability. If he can fix it, you're on board. And I think, you know, a lot of people, their circumstances are extreme enough now that they may agree with you. Still, you can feel the GOP and the way they've laid out the speeches this week. They really care about putting that friendly face on. Point taken, though, and I appreciate your call, Jack. Tom in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Tom, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. My concern is simply this, that Romney has talked a lot about deregulation of business and industry, and I have real concerns. The 2008 financial crisis gave us an excellent illustration of what happens when things go wrong and people who are in charge or have access to major decisions get involved with greed and their own self-interest at the expense of others. And if we deregulate and all of these concerns are free to do pretty much as they please, I will bet you a shiny new penny that there will be serious consequences, potentially serious consequences, that can happen as a result of people being free to do whatever they want. And I am very concerned for the welfare and the well-being of the average citizen who have no control and no say in these decisions. So,
given our history, Tom, I can see exactly why you would. Let me take that Cedar Rapids perspective to Susan McManus here in Florida. I mean, Susan, we heard the tape from President Obama saying that, you know, Mitt talks, it's exciting, sun coming up, economic game, but he really just wants to double down on old failed policies. You can hear our Cedar Rapids caller kind of worried about just that. What about that tension, Susan?
Well, I think that's why the race is tied in diverse places in Black Florida and other swing states, frankly. And people, I think ultimately when Election Day rolls around, are really going to vote more their party. I mean, we've said this a lot, but I honestly think that we've seen it in polls here. A much higher percentage have already said they're sticking with their party's nominee. And we have only around 5% of Florida voters say they're undecided. So I don't think that there's going to be a lot of minds changed in either direction. People pretty much either like what's going on in Washington and believe in that guy, or they don't like what's going on there and they believe in the other guy. And that's where we're at. I just really see that issues and logic and all the discussions aren't getting through. But let me tell you one thing that will possibly make a difference, and that's television ads. We have been bombarded with them here. We're saturated in this market. And what we've seen is suddenly fewer and fewer people interested. They're not moving people. That's going to make the turnout game much more important, the ground game. And on that front, it looks like the Obama campaign is a little bit more ahead in Florida than the Romney campaign. Not to say that the latter can't catch up, but you know, you're not changing minds a lot with messages right now.
Tom, has been ahead, but a whole lot of money is going to be unloosed on the backside of this convention. Is it not, Byron?
It certainly is. As a matter of fact, Mitt Romney has raised an enormous amount of money that he can't use because he was in a primary fight. He can't use money he's raised for the general election until Thursday night when he actually accepts the nomination. And Romney, a strategist for quite a while, pointed out the fact that Obama had more money to use in ads against Romney in this period here after Romney really sewed up the nomination, but before he officially accepted it and couldn't spend that. Barack Obama, who did not have a primary challenge, doesn't have the same problem.
But as of Thursday night, watch out, Susan, in Florida and all across the country. Omaha, Nebraska, Nancy is calling. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wanted to comment about education, and as a parent of a recent graduate who starts her first job today, in fact, the reports of Mitt Romney's comments that students need to borrow from their parents and shop around, I was a little outdone by that. We scrimped and saved, and our daughter did get some scholarships, but I think that he's a little out of touch with, you know, education as a great equalizer, and it, most people can't afford a college education anymore.
Yeah, shop around and just borrow it from mom and dad who may or may not have it at all. I mean, Byron, this issue of out of touch, you know, Ronald Reagan had his moment, and he seized it, and he took it right away from Jimmy Carter, and we all know the story after that. Americans have been through an even tougher time here than they had with Jimmy Carter, and you can hear in that, you know, there's sort of really complicated feelings about whether you can just unleash the great American economic engine here, free it up, and it's going to take care of everybody, or not. You hear it right there from Omaha, Byron.
Well, I remember that shop around comment from Romney, and it was a particularly bad answer to the question. Especially since a lot of conservatives believe that college tuition inflation is being fed by, you know, the infusion of more and more and more loan money and federal money, and it's just going out of control. But I think the question for Romney to deal with is, everybody knows he's rich. He doesn't worry about having money. The question is, can he get past that and say, look, the issue is, who can make things better? We have suffered an enormous amount in recent years, and the only question that matters right now is, how can we make things better? Maybe we won't make things perfect, but how can we make things better? And I'm the guy to do that. And yet, look, I've got a lot of money. There it is. But I can make things better for everybody. He's got to get that message across.
You know, Doyle, in our Omaha caller's voice, I don't exactly hear a problem necessarily with Mitt Romney's money, but she's attuned to her own the challenges that her family has faced. Just to get that foot on the ladder that an education means, and a sense that this candidate may not really understand that struggle. On the other hand, there's the old Reagan offer, come on, I will cut this thing loose and it'll roar and we'll all be doing better.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, Mitt Romney has been in favor of reducing the Pell Grants for college education. That's the policy issue that is underlying that. It's not really a question about likability. It's a question about, does he, and it's not really a question about, is he personally wealthy? Not only is he has to get beyond that, but it's a question about, would his economic plan answer the problems that middle-class people, the people at the median income, actually have in terms of education, in terms of housing, in terms of health care. And that's still a burden that the Romney campaign has to beat. You know, we do a lot of analogizing with previous elections. Remember that in 1980, Jimmy Carter's approval rating was in the 20s. Barack Obama is still in the 40s. This is a much closer race than that one was.
And the Republicans know that very well in spite of everything we've seen with the economy. That's why the urgency with their convention this week, it will kick off tomorrow on the other side of Isaac. There's a lot of people gathering here. There go the Oak Ridge Boys right now walking by. They're going to be playing. You'll hear more about that. Them. We are in Tampa on the convention site, and we'll be on top of all of it this week. I want to thank my guest today, Susan McManus at the University of South Florida. Susan, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Byron York with the Washington Examiner. Thank you, Byron.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And Doyle McManus with the LA Times with me right here. Thanks so much, Doyle.
Thank you, Tom.
From Tampa, I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.